Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur. Don't forget to click on the Daf option to see today's Tosfos marked using the popular Gemara Markings system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. For those who have heard our Gemara Shiur today, you will notice that the first couple Tosfos in today's Shiur were already alluded to and learned during the Gemara Shiur. But that being said, let's go back to Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. V'nafshi kefor l'kol tiheh. This is one of the prayers that were recited after the Shmon Esrei. In particular, it was said by Mor Breid Ravina when he was Messiah his tefillah. This, you can see in the Gemara, his name appeared on the fifth of the wide lines of the fifth of the lines after the narrow lines of Gemara. What was the significance of saying that my soul should be like dust unto all? Ma offer eno mekabel klir le'olam, just like offer dirt remains, it's not something that you can destroy. Dirt remains dirt all the time, forever. So too, it should be your desire that my seed, that my offspring, should never be obliterated, should remain forever. Omer, just like the pasuk says, just like the Almighty blessed the Avraham Avinu and said that your seed shall be like the dirt of the land, something that will remain forever. The next Tosfos, Ani Bria V'Chaveri Bria. This we saw under the name of the Rabbana D'Yavna, and the Margul B'Pumayo. This was on the last line before the Gemara becomes extremely wide. So the Rabbana of Yavna mentioned that we pursue Torah, and the Amoratsim, the ignoramuses, they pursue their work. So Tosfos explains, Klomar Yesh Loi Lev Kamoni. When the Rabbana of Yavna were paralleling themselves to the Amoratsim, they were saying, well, we both have the heart or the wisdom, sufficient wisdom, lahavchin bein toiv l'ra, to make a distinction between good and evil. And of course, the expectation is to pursue the good. And there are those that make decisions otherwise. So everyone starts at the same beginning point, at the same starting line. The question in life is which path does one pursue? The next Tosfos, Ha'oisi Shalom Lishma Noach Loi Shalom Nivra. This was part of a statement concerning the pursuit of Torah for Torah learning's sake. And it was said in the Gemara that those who pursue Torah Shalom Lishma, this was under the Margul Pume de Rava. He had said that those who pursue Torah Shalom Lishma, it would have been better that they weren't created in the first place. So Tosfos raises the question, and of course we had made reference to this during our Gemara Shir as well. V'im Toimar, Ha'omar of Yudah Marav, Perk Mokam Shenogu, was it not said by Yudah Marav in Psochim, Lolom Yatsuk Adam B'Torah V'Mitzvah Filu Shaloi Lishma, that one should pursue Torah and Mitzvahs even if it's not for the purest intention, Shemitov Shalom Lishma Balishma, that through the pursuit of Torah Mitzvahs, even if it's without the lofty lofty goals in mind, nevertheless he will come to that loftiness. So, and yet in our Gemara it says that one who pursues Torah Shalom Lishma, it's better he wasn't created. How do you resolve that with a statement that says that one ought to pursue it Shalom Lishma, because it will lead to the better ways? The Yesh Lomar, the answer is the Hocha Mayu She'enu Lomed Elikate Chaverov. Here, we're describing a person that his whole engagement with Torah is only to become familiar with Torah teachings in order to argue with his friends, to argue against those, most likely against those that are pursuing Torah. In other words, to discover points of difficulty or questions in order to challenge others, but with no intention of observing things themselves, observing Torah and mitzvahs themselves. The Hasa Mairi, the Gemara in Psochim, is speaking, Shaloimin Almanas Shechabdu. He's learning Torah, and he'll pursue Torah, he'll practice Torah, he'll grow in Torah, but his intention happens to be that will be his source of honor, that he will gain honor through that. But he's not doing it in order to repel or to rebuff those that are living Torah. We continue on Omid Beis, places at the top. The Gemara at this point had been analyzing the pasuk of Alufenu Misubalim, which was a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Mem Dalid, and it said Ein Peretz, and the Gemara said that Peretz Ze Achitofel Sheporatz Pirsa B'Malchus Beis Dovid Achitofel had caused a breach in the kingdom of David. Yotzes, this was the next word in the pasuk, Ze Doyeg Shiyotzu L'Tar B'Sro, who went astray, went off the Torah path, Kin Meforsh B'Chelik Gabi Vai Shiyotzu Ze, where the Gemara analyzes the name Doeg and says that it's reminiscent of a comet or a scream. Vai, woe unto him that has left the path. Tzvacha ze Gehazi, again one of the words of the pasuk. Tzvacha is a reference to Gehazi. Shaya mitzora, tzvacha means one who screams out. That's a reference to Gehazi, who he too was a rasha. Uksiv be regarding. Gehazi was a Metzora. It says regarding Metzora, Tomei Tomei Yikra V'hayu Tzvocha, that he calls out that he is Tomei. This is a form of screaming. So that these last points in the pasuk became part of a prayer that our community, our generation should not experience those that went off, like was mentioned in the Gemara. The next Tosis, Haim Yizonim Bezroa. And here the Tosis makes a comment that has reference to Piyutim, different poetic passages that are said during different holidays, in this case a reference to the Rosh Hashanah Piyutim. So he says, Haim Yizonim Bezroa, L'chein Yesh Lagia B'tkios, and there's a gears on the side that says, B'zichroinois of Yoim Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, that Hamasil Be... Hamasu Efchad, in the text in that particular poem, should read Behem Bizroa Odecha Bou, Velogar Sinon Odecha Loi Bou. This is an example of a Tosis dealing with a technicality in the text of that particular passage, that some communities, and certainly many years ago, had the custom of saying. Continuing in the Tosis, the next Tosis, Tre Zimni Bishasa. We were describing Abire Lev in the negative approach, that said Abire Lev was a reference to Rishayim, and it mentioned that the Bnei Masa Mechasi, Ravashi said the people of Mechasi, Ravashi by the way was the rabbinic leader, was the Rav of Mechasi, and he said that the general community, the Gentile community of Mechasi, were Abire Lev in so far as they saw Kovenat Torah twice a year. So Tosfos says, Avol Ba'atzeres, Atzeres is another word for Shavuos, the holiday of Shavuos, She'enu Elo Yoim Echad, it's a one-day holiday. It's true that in outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's 2 days are observed, but from the Torah standpoint, it's a one-day holiday, as opposed to Pesach, which is a seven-day holiday, and Sukkot likewise is a multiple-day holiday. So, Lo Hoyu Kol Kach Misasven, with regard to Shavuos, there wasn't so much of a gathering, so that the Gemara's reference to twice a year, it's a reference to the twice a year in anticipation of Pesach and Shavuos, as opposed to Pesach and Sukkot, as opposed to Shavuos, which was a one-day holiday, and there wasn't much gathering for that. V'shemo Niso Israchish Lehu, Tosfos says that it could be that during those gatherings there was a miracle that happened, and in light of some miraculous event, you would expect people would want to join the ranks of the Jewish community, and yet no one from Mechasia ever did. And Tosfos says that I saw in a sefer, in a book called Sefer Ha'itim, that was authored by Rabbi Yehuda bar Barzilai, Sheshoma, that he heard that a pillar of fire descended upon them. Bekala de Elo, Bekala de Adar. Kala is a reference to the public lectures of during the month before the respective holidays. The Kala of Elul is the month before Tishrei, which has in it the holidays of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. And Kala of the Adar, the public lectures in the month of Adar prior to Nisan that has in it Pesach. So that here you have a record of someone, of an actual miraculous event taking place there, and as we said, no one ever was, that didn't arouse any of the general community to want to join the ranks. Hence they're described as a birei leiv. Rav Shisha brei Ravidi Omar li'olam loy tachlifen. We saw at the end of the perek, after a contradiction was raised between Rav Shimon Gamliel in our mission of verses, that which is taught in the context of Tisha B'Av, Rav Shisha said, "Don't switch around the sources." Pirush Rach, the Rabbeinu Chananel explains, the halacha ke Rav Shisha. To who Basra? In other words, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Shisha in how to present the answer to the sugya. So he says we follow Rav Shisha because he was later. He was a later authority than Rabbi Yochanan, giving him a greater, we'll say, halachic weight in terms of not that he's a greater individual, but as far as psak is concerned, the later authority carries more weight in terms of practical halacha. So Rav Shisha did not switch around the shittas, and by not switching around the shittas, that means Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is telling us that a choson should not say the Kriya Shema. V'alocha k'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel de'omar lo kol haroitz litos Hashem yitol. And we know that we are to follow Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who in this case said that not just anyone can say the Kriya Shema. The Bechol Mokom Shishan Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the Mishnah Sein Halacha Gemosa, wherever Rav Shimon ben Gamliel appears in Mishnayos, we follow his opinion. Chutz, with the exception of three places that are referred to as Me'orev, Vitzidon, V'raya Achrono. Those are three particular teachings in Mishnayos that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel makes a point, and we don't follow him there. So that in light of this, we want to maintain Rav Shisha Braid Ravidi's approach, which left Rav Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah as it is, with the conclusion that a choson is not to say Kriya Shema. And the reasons we gave already were because of his inability to concentrate, and if he were to recite, he would be demonstrating haughtiness. V'chein posak Rabbeinu Chananel, and Rabbeinu Chananel thusly ruled. Umihu onu shebeshum pam ein onu mechavnin heitev gam choson yesh likros. However, nowadays, that no one really ever achieves any high level of concentration, so even a choson says the Kriya Shema like the Shitas HaRabbonan. The Adaraba, to the contrary, nire kiyuralim lo yikra, if a choson nowadays would not say Kriya Shema, that would be a demonstration of haughtiness. Klomar, it would be as if he were proclaiming, ani mechavein b'chol shah, that in general, I have kavona. And we just got saying that nowadays, no one really has kavona. So from his refraining from Kriya Shema recitation, he's in effect saying, well, today I can't concentrate, but on all other days, I would be able to concentrate. Avol, lasos melocha b'tisha b'av, ein lasos melocha. But as far as the issue concerning doing work on Tisha B'Av, there we shall follow the original Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and not do melocha on Tisha B'Av. There, and under such circumstances, there's no chance of any haughtiness demonstration. We now continue with the Tosafim that are relevant to the third perek. Mi shemesoi mutalafonav. Rashi goris. Mi shemesoi. Rashi has in his order of prokim of Maseches Brochas, he has this perek, Mi shemesoi, achar tefilas hashachar, after the perek entitled Tefilas hashachar. The perek entitled Tefilas hashachar in our version of things happens to be the fourth perek. But according to Rashi, what we have as the third parak would actually come after Tefillas HaShachar, so the numbers would be switched around. Aval nira l'ri shehu achar hoya kore. The ri says that Misha Mesa means our parak, this what we call the third parak, shall follow what we call what's named the parak hoya kore, which is in effect the second parak. In other words, the Ri has the order of Prokhin like we have it. And why is that? The Ayri b'seife mikriyashma v'kan maskul nami miptor kriyashma. The end of the second parak was dealing with the issues concerning recitation of kriyashma, and this parak begins also with the issue of an exemption from kriyashma. The Yushalmi goris kamo kein, and the Yushalmi version has it likewise this way. Potter mikriyashma. So we mentioned in our Mishnah that a person who is obligated to tend to the deceased and worry about his burial is exempt from kriyashma. But Yerushalmi meforish taimo. The Yerushalmi offers an explanation for this exemption. Amar Rabbi Bun, ksiv leman tizkor v'chulei ad kol yemei chayecha. So the pasuk mentions that you shall remember the Almighty all your days. And we darshan from here, yomim shata oisek b'chayim. It says, we say leman tizkor, and kol yemei chayecha. Means yomim shata oisek b'chayim, v'lo yomim shata oisek b'meisim. The days that you're involved with the living, and not days when you're involved with the dead. So hence, there is no obligation on those kind of days. We're involved with the meisim. Now here's a section of the Tosfos that the Meforshim challenge the text that we have in front of us, but it says Hochi Gar Sinan Poter Mikriyashma. The next two words are questionable. In fact, in the Sefer Meloy Horoyim, he says to delete these two words, Umin Hatfilah and Umin Hatfilin. So that according to the Meloy HaRoyim's approach to this Tosfos, the Girsa is Poter Mikriyashma Umin Hatfilin, and that's the Girsa that the Bach had suggested, and we mentioned that as we were reading the Mishnah. So that the opening of the Mishnah is telling us about an exemption from Kriyashma and Tefillin. It's not mentioning the exemption from Tefillin, even though it's quite obvious that there's an exemption from it, but that's not mentioned explicitly in the text. But once again, this is we'll call it a touchy textual subject, and as we pointed out, there is different approaches to it. Hochi Goris Rashi. Rashi's Girsa, what we've done in this Tosfos by way of markings, we featured Rashi with a diamond, and then later there's Hasfarim, which is Girsas Hasfarim, which is a different Girsa, and I might as well say a smoother and easier Girsa is featured later in the Tosfos. We've also double underlined the text that Rashi has and the text that the alternative text that the Sfarim have. So Rashi's Girsa is Shela'achar Hamita. Afilu hamita tzricha lohem chayovin. In our Mishnah, we had the es shel achar mita tzorech bohem, and Rashi added, even if there's a tzorech bohem, chayovin. Lefi shel oilom lo hoyu regilim loseis. Means those that are acharamita, they've already carried. So once the mita has gone by them, knows they've carried the mita a certain amount of distance and then passed it on to those. To others, so they're now behind the mita. So they've already carried, so they're not expected. It's not common for them. It's not a regular phenomenon for them to continue any carrying anymore. The loshon, the language, the text is a bit difficult. The foresh. My ko'omar afilu tzricha lahem. The text that Rashi has is, as we mentioned, esha achar mita afilu hamita tzorch lahem. It's a cumbersome expression. V'halo lo hoyu nosim klal es hamita. Why do you say that those that are behind the bed that are sorach bohem, that are needed for carrying, when those that are behind the bed, behind the coffin, were no longer going to carry it anymore? So why does Rashi say that afilu tzricha lahem? L'kach nira kegirsas hasforim. Therefore, an alternative girsa, which is found in other works, seems more likely, and it reads as follows: Shelifnei hamita, v'shelachar hamita, es shamita tzricha lahem pturin, those that are still needed, those that are needed for carrying are exempt. Ein tzricha lahem chayavim. Those that are not needed are obligated to say the Kriya Shema. In other words, we're not, this approach doesn't lock in the lifnei and the li'achar to the tzricha and neina tzricha. It just mentions in general there are those that are in front of the mita and those that are in behind the mita, and the exemption and obligation simply depends, are you necessary or not? The next place is Elu v'Elu Pturim min HaTfila. Those that are behind the mita, the Mishnah said, those that are in front of the mita certainly, and even those that are behind the mita are exempt from Shmoyne Esrei. Avol, Rashi, the Tosfos says, Avol b'Kriya Shema u'b'Tfilin Shem Midoraisa, but regarding these mitzvahs of Kriya Shema and wearing of tefillin that are Torah-based, chayovim, those that are after the mita, those that have already carried the mace, are obligated in Kriya Shema and tefillin. For Reisha dekomar mi shemesoi mutal lefonov, the potter min Kriya Shema u'min atfilin v'chulei, the Reisha that said that if one has a corpse in front of him and he's exempt from Kriya Shema and from tefillin, kol shekein the potter min atfilah, and all the more so he's exempt from tefillah. Ela lo boi lemisni bereisha, the point of the reisha, the purpose of the reisha, was elo hachiluk shebein noisei hamita lemesoi mutal lefonav. The Mishnah wanted to contrast the case of mesoi mutal lefonav that are always exempt versus the carriers of the coffin, though that there are those that are chayev, like those that are behind the mita, so that he was obligated to, let's say, overseeing the burial, he's in charge, that's the meso mutal lefonav situation, he is exempt, he's completely exempt. Regarding the carriers of the coffin, there a distinction is made. So that's the structure of the mission and why it chose to mention the exemption in the ratio of Kriya Shema and Tefillin, where we say that's an across the board exemption because he's the one in charge. And regarding the Nosei Hamita, there, as far as Kriya Shema and Tefillin are concerned, it depends if you're Lifnei or Lacher. It's not an across the board exemption. The next Tosfos, and we should just point out that this next Tosfos starts here at the bottom of Yud Zayin Beis, but continues a ways down Yud Ches Omed Aleph. The Eino Mevorech. Pirush Rashi, regarding the person who has is in the context or the confines of a corpse. So the source had said he is not to make a, he is eino mevorech. Now Pirush Rashi, we've put a triangle around Pirush Rashi, and a few lines later, a triangle around Lekach Nira. These are two different approaches. Pirush Rashi, v'ein zokuk levorech. Umashim mitok Pirusho, it sounds from Rashi's explanation, shim rots levorech l'shoy, that if he wants to make a brocha, the option exists. Mihu, b'Yerushalmi ko'amar im rotso lahachmir ein shomin lo. Yerushalmi differs and says that if he wants to obligate himself to act stringently, this person who's in the confines of a mace and he wants to make a bracha, he is not allowed to. Ancient, we don't listen to his desires. We don't allow him to. In other words, according to Rashi, there is an option to make the bracha, and according to Yerushalmi, there is no option. Lekach nira loymar. Therefore, Tosfos concludes, Eino Mevorach, the expression of the source that said Eino Mevorach really means Eino Rashoy Levorach, he has no license, he is not entitled to make a bracha, like the Yerushalmi. Umeforish b'Yerushalmi Loma, and the Yerushalmi explains why this is, and the Yerushalmi gives two explanations. B'komar, one, mitnei kvoidei shomeis, the exemption is because of the honor of the mace. As far as honor of the mace is concerned, that is something that one might have to give some thought to. It could be because of lo eg l'rosh cherev osehu, because you are making a brocha, and that's something that the mace cannot do. Inami, another explanation of why one is not to make the brachas, mipnei she'ein lo mi she'isa maso, because there is no one to carry his burden, which would seem like it's a function of, since he is preoccupied with tending to the mace, so his full concentration and preoccupation must be focused on that, since there is no one else that is going to do it. So he's actively involved with dealing with the burial of the mace, which would sound a lot like the exemption of poter min ha-mitzvah or torud bedvar mitzvah, as we've seen regarding the case of the chosan. Uporech. Now, in our continuation of Tosis, we've employed the following marking system, where a volcano shape will appear, the trapezoid, with a sometimes narrow facing up and sometimes flipped over, as to highlight the give and take style, with the narrow part facing up, a question, narrow facing down, that will represent a response. So uporech, and it's in Yerushalmi, the question is raised, v'hatanya poter minetilas lov, that a misha mesa mutalafonov is exempt from lulav, v'kasaka daitoch demayr b'yom tov. Sounds like that we're talking about Yom Tov. Take the lulav on the Yom Tov Sukkis. On the day, the first day of Sukkis, you take a lulav. Uvo eno Torah liso maso. And that explanation doesn't apply. You don't bury the dead on Yom Tov itself. So that you see there is an exemption even without that explanation. So this is a challenge to the Hesber that Yerushalmi gave for the Eino Mevorech. And it's pointed out that it's a challenge specifically to that particular answer. The Kvodo Shomes is not, that answer isn't being challenged. Umeshani. In order to preserve that second answer of the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi answers, Tiftar, explain this source that said, Potter Minatilas Ulov, explain it, Bechoyol. Pirish Bechoyol Shomoyed. That's, it's cholamoyed. You also take the lulav on cholamoyed. So, misha meso muta lefonov, if he's on cholamoyed, so he does not take the lulav because he is preoccupied with the burial of the mace. V'ha tanya, we continue at the top of yud ches amud aleph. You'll notice the marking indicates a question is now raised. Tanya poter mitkias shofar. In addition to poter mitkias milulav, it also says that misha meisim luta lefonov is poter from tkias shofar. Now, ishloch lemeimar b'chol, can you say regarding shofar blowing that you're talking about a weekday? B'chol v'lo b'yom tov b'tmiha? No, it's shofar is a, Rosh Hashanah is a one, called a 1 day or 2 day holiday. There's no cholamoyed involved there. And so, what do we see here? We see an exemption, even though there is no. What was the lashon there? We saw mnei she'ein lo mi she'isa maso. It's not an issue of being preoccupied with burying the dead. So that the exemption is not like that second answer of the Yerushalmi. Umeshani, we answer. Omar Rav Chanina, mikivan shu zokuk lahochin la'orun v'tachrichin. Since true, it is Rosh Hashanah, and there is no Chol HaMoed involved here. But since we're talking about the person in charge of the burial, he has to eventually prepare the coffin and the shrouds. Kiddusnan, the Mishnah in Shabbos says that even though Shabbos is a day that you're not allowed to do things on Shabbos in preparation of after Shabbos, but yet it says, Machshichin ala tchum dehavi loy aron v'tachrifin, that one can go to the edge of the Tchum Shabbos in anticipation of right after Shabbos going beyond that distance. A Tchum is an area, a restriction. You can't go beyond 2,000 amas from a particular community on Shabbos. However, you can go to the very edge of that distance. That's called Machshichin, in anticipation of right after Shabbos going to do what? To get to tend to the Oron, the coffin, and the Tachrichin, the shrouds. So since we're dealing on Rosh Hashanah day, but we're dealing with someone who has the obligation to deal with the Oron and Tachrichin. So Kemo Shehu Noisei Maso Domi, he is like someone who is involved with the actual burial. Almo Mashma, Dibishabosus Yomim Toivim, it would come out then from this discussion that even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, someone who is Misha Mesa Mutal Lefonov, Eino Rashoy, Levorech Ulispalel, the Torah Lahachshich Loi Ala Tchum Lahavi Oron Vitachrifin, because he is preoccupied with going to the edge of the Tchum. He's preoccupied with burial matters, even if it's on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So that, now we notice we put a diamond around Mashma because we want to contrast this with what we're going to see now as the next question. So up to this point, based on dealing with the Yerushalmi, who said in his second explanation for the tour of Eino Mevorech, what was the second explanation the Yerushalmi gave? Was Mipnei She'ein Lo Mishi Yisuma. So we're talking about someone who has no replacement. He is the one who is obligated to tend to the burial. And as a result of that, there is an exemption. It's an Eino Mevorech, we said, and he's Lo Yitolulav, and he's Lo Tokeh B'Shoifar, all of these things which apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov as well, we see exemption. Therefore, we conclude at this point that there is an exemption from making, even from brochus on Shabbos Shofim, on Yom Tov, regarding someone who is no se maso, or is the one obligated to tend to the burial. Now the question, the kashya, miseifa. We raise a question from the seifa of this very source, the source that was featured in our Gemara, the source that had the expression Eino Mevorech in it. What does it say in this very source that we saw in the Gemara? In fact, the third line from the top of this omid, it said, B'Shabbos Mevorechin Olav U'Mezamnin Olav. On Shabbos, you do. This person who's Misha Mesa Mutal Lefonov does make brochas and does participate in the Birkas Hamazon. The Chen Tanya Nami Bishami, Bamed Vamurun, there's a brice abroad in Yishami that says, when is there exemption? B'choil, when it's during the weekday that he's actually physically tending to the burial. Avol B'Shabbos, when it's Shabbos, when at best there's maybe a mental preoccupation, but there isn't an actual physical involvement with the burial. It says that one reclines and eats and makes the brachas, and others answer in brachas with an omen. So at this point, the issue is a seeming contradiction between the resha and the seifa. The way we understood the resha, in light of the Yerushalmi's explanation, was that he's considered noisei maso even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Regarding the Seifa, it said explicitly that there is an obligation on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Oimer Hori, notice we have an inverted trapezoid, this is an answer, and also Aleph, this is the first of two approaches. The Oimer Ri, the Pligi Adodi, Reisha V'Seifa, B'Yerushalmi. As far as Yerushalmi is concerned, the Reisha and Seifa are at odds. They are arguing with one another. The Reisha saying that Eino Mevorech extends to Shabbos and Yom Tov as well because of Machshich and Ala Tchum, and the Seifa says explicitly that he's obligated on Shabbos and Yom Tov to Mevorech. V'Rebbe Nesanel Hoya Oimer the Efsher Liyashvoi. Rabbi Nesanel says that we can resolve the Reisha and Seifa. Devadai im Daitoi Lahachshich Ala Tchum. We're explaining the Reisha right now, that if a person's intent is, in fact, to go to the edge of the Tchum, to get the Aron and the Tachrichim, Oz Yesh Lanu Loma, the Torah Lahachshich, then we can say that he's preoccupied with going to the edge of the Eino Rashoi Levorech, and he is not allowed to make a bracha. He has to be fully involved with all his mind and heart on dealing with the dead and its burial, and not anything else. The Seifa is speaking about someone who is not intending to be machshich al tchum. This explanation of machshich al tchum has no relevance to the explanation that the Yerushalmi gave for Eino Mevorech because of the issue of kvodo. As we mentioned, the kvodo shomeis, we had mentioned that might be a consideration of loig l'rosh, that when you're in the presence of the mace and you are making brachas, so and he cannot do it, so that would be considered a form of disrespect. HaYushalmi Demishani DePoter Minatilas Lulav. From the Yushalmi that explained the exemption of the Misha Mesa Mutulufona from taking Lulav, the Mairi B'chol HaMoed, that we, the Yushalmi had explained that that was talking about Chol HaMoed, and we have a little arrow to the side of the Tosis indicating Yud Zayin Mabez. If you go back to Yud Zayin Mabez, you'll see a corresponding arrow to where he mentioned this earlier. That there it was mentioned that there's that it's talking about Chol HaMoed, the Torud Lisomaso. Lomatnu, we learn from this, Shebechol HaMoed Shayech Aninus Kishemeso Mutolofonov. The concept of aninus, which is relevant to situation of a death and the period of time before its burial. So we learn that on Chol HaMoed, which is a time, by the way, that we do not observe mourning, or what's known as what people commonly call Shiva or Dine Avelus. That's the standard Dine Avelus, which set in after the burial. Nevertheless, the dinim that apply before the burial are in force during Chol HaMoed. That's what comes out from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi that said that the person is exempt from taking lulav is talking about Chol HaMoed, when it's a time that he can be actually involved with the burial. So we learn that Chol HaMoed is a time that it's that the laws of aninus are binding. That's kishemesa mutalafonov, when you are dealing with someone who is the one obligated to burial, to bury that particular deceased. The kevon de kishemuta lafonov shayach aninus. And since when you have a situation of muta lafonov, the body is there in front of you, or you are obligated to bury it, ki mutal olav lekovro ki mutal lafonov domi. The literal expression was mesa muta lafonov, the body is lying in front of you. So we say that the dinim of aninus are shayach. This extends not only to the case of the body actually lying in front of you, but as we were explaining till now, it's upon you to see to its burial. But so that even if it's not in front of you, but it's upon you to see to its burial, it's as if it's lying in front of you. And likewise, the opposite is true. You can have a situation of someone that is in the presence of a body, but he is not the one that is obligated to take care of the burial. Eino noheg aninus, then the rules of aninus will not apply. V'chein mash b'Yushalmi. Likewise, it appears that way in the Yushalmi, where it says nimso l'rabim, if a person, let us say, experienced the loss of a relative, and that was then the body was then given over to the public, meaning that the public authorities will see to its burial. Well, oichel baser v'sheisi yayin, he is allowed to eat meat and drink wine, which is something that an onane is not allowed to do. But if the body was given to the rabbin to bury, he is allowed. So showing you that that the laws of aninus don't any longer apply. Nimsalik sefayim, nims kenimsal rabbin sefayim are literally the shoulders. Those are people like we call the pallbearers, those that would carry the coffin. So if the body was given over to them, it's like given over to the public. The Al-Korchach Nimser L'Rabim Ritzoynu Lomar Afilu L'Fonav. And we have to say that when we speak about being given over to the public, we're talking about a case, even if the body is physically in front of you, but the obligation to tend to it is no longer upon you. So that we're saying that even though it's in front of you, you are the person is no longer obligated or restricted by the laws of aninus. Or we can mention that also the exemptions that are afforded to the onane are no longer in place. In short, rules of aninus do not apply, because the main factor is, are you tending to it or not? So if you're not tending to it, even if the body is in front of you, you are no longer considered an onane. The e shaloi lefonav, if we were talking about a case only that only if the body is not in front, then why do you then tapuk lay, then learn out that the exemption of wine the heter of eating meat and drinking wine is tapuk lay shemiyad chal olav avelus mishi yotso mi pesach beso, that once a corpse is taken out of the house, and you're not going to the cemetery, the laws of avelus kick in right there, so that the kevan de lo chal ole aninus. And since we're saying right now that the laws of aninus are not upon that individual, im kein odom she'eno yochol likbor meso, someone who cannot bury his dead, kagon odom shemes beis asurim, vein hamoishel manicho lukovro, a person whose relative, let's say, died while incarcerated, and the Moshel, the ruler, the governor, the legal authority is not allowing you to bury the deceased who died while incarcerated. Nire she'ein chayav linug bo aninus, so that the surviving relative is not obligated in the rules of aninus, and he won't be forbidden in drinking wine or eating meat. Sharei ein ze mutal olav lekovro. This is a case where it's not upon him, the surviving relative who's out in freedom, it's not upon him to bury. He can't pay a ransom and extricate the corpse from the jail. So he just simply is unable to engage in the burial. Kedusha Maseches Smochis, as it's taught in that particular Masechta, which is a collection of brises dealing with avelus, it says there, Nisyashu Bailov Milukovro Nisablin Olov. If the literally owners of the body, but the relatives or those that are connected to the body are unable, they've given up hope from burying their particular deceased. So misablon olav uposit minei Torah aninus, they now start avelus and the rules of aninus do not apply. Mihu, however, ba'oisa shetofsoi moishel gam avelus eino chayov. In the case of the incarcerated individual who died while incarcerated, there even the rules of avelus do not apply. The lo domi l'nisyashim likovro, it's different than the case of where people gave up hope on burying. Sheshuv eino kovro, that in that case of nisyashim likovro, they're not going to bury him at all. Aval hocha, in the case of Tofsoi Moshel, Adayin hu metzape im yuchal lasos psharim haMoshel, is this hope in the back of their minds that maybe they can come to terms, come to some type of compromise with the governor, lahanichoi lekovro, to allow them to in fact bury their relative or their deceased. And in such a case where there is the hope of burial, then we say that the rules of avelus will kick in after the burial. So that in a situation where there's no possible burial, as the case of Nisyashu Balav Mikovro from the Maseches Smochis, so since there's no burial on deck or in waiting, therefore avelus sets in. However, where there is a faint hope of engaging in burial, so we say the rules of avelus will hold off till that point. The chen maisa de Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon b'Reb Ova Metzia de posak mitzvah saninus, and similarly was the case involving the demise of Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon, featured in Bava Metzia, where the rules of aninus no longer apply. Umaisa Shemesa, and now Tosis relates an incident. Shemesa Chosus Rabbeinu Tam b'Shabbos, the sister of Rabbeinu Tam passed away on a Shabbos. V'hodiu lo b'motzoi Shabbos b'iracheres, and they informed him of her passing while he was in another community. And he went ahead and ate meat and drank wine, obviously indicating that he is not an onein, even though he was just informed of her death. The Omar, and he explained, since she has a husband who is obligated to see to her burial, he is a, then Rabbeinu Tam was a brother, the husband is obligated in burying the wife, Eino osur bebosur v'yayin. He, Rabbeinu Tam, is not forbidden or restricted from bosur v'yayin as an onein. Be'efshu shigam, im hoya Rabbeinu Tam b'yir atzmo hoya mekel me'oisetam. Could very well be that as far as the fact that Rabbeinu Tam was in another community, that's only what actually happened. But even if he was in the same community where his sister had been located, he still would have been able to exercise this leniency of eating the meat and drinking the wine for this very reason, that he wasn't the one obligated to see to her burial, and hence he is not categorized as an onei. This concludes today's shiur on the Tosfos.